This morning, I want to start by telling all of us that God's creative power to perform miracles and wonders is still at work today and will work for each one of us. Say amen.
Amen.
Christianity is known and called as the great confession religion. Sadly enough, many Christians who are defeated in life are defeated because they believe and confess the wrong things. Are we still together? At the end of the day, it is so easy for us to believe in a report given by the physicians than to believe in the proven words that has been spoken thousands of years and that has proven to be infallible. Many Christians today have actually spoken the words of the enemy, which unfortunately will hold them in bondage. You may say, preacher, this is ridiculous. I can't go on with you on this one here. That's all right. But it's sad to say that it is so easy for the majority of Christianity to repeat the words of a physician or the words of the devil without realizing that those words that are spoken will actually keep us in bondage. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we are warned about this stuff, and a lot of people don't take this to heart. Let me have Proverbs 6, 1 and 2 from the New King James. Let's go verse 1 and then verse 2. Okay. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, let's go to verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. You say, what does verse 1 has to do with verse 2? I don't know you guys, but every time that I go to see a physician, the few times that I did, when I go, upon leaving, they always shake my hands. Don't they do that to you?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Is anybody listening to what I'm saying here? Or you're the type of guy, you go to see a physician, and once he finishes, you get up and then you walk away. I was just thinking about this. Can you go back to verse 1? Watch this. My son, if you become surety for a friend, he's talking about you, you are a cosigner. And then he goes on, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, then verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You may argue with me, well, preacher, he's talking about being a cosigner here. All right, if that's true, that's okay, I'll go with you. But you know what? It does say that if you shake hands in a pledge, if you shake hands in agreement, you are snared by the words of your mouth. So what you're saying, the doctor says you have schizophrenia. You get that bad report, and then you hear all the options that you have. And then you get out of the doctor's office all bent out of shape, and then you shake your hand with the doctor. No! You're not going to shake my hand. No, 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 because I am not in agreement with you. I may be diagnosed with something, but I am not accepting that I am a schizophrenic. Are you with me so far? So many Christians today are speaking the words and the wrong words. And when we speak the wrong words, we've got snared by the words. We got trapped. We've got into bondage by the words that we speak. And then that person leaves the consultory, go home, hey, hon, what's up? How was it? I've got so and so and so and so. Isn't that what usually happens? Folks, let me say this to you in a very simple way. Faith-filled words will put us on the top of our games. Fear-filled words will defeat us every time. Huh? Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Can I hear an amen here? How many times have you ever been told a word by somebody that hears like somebody's just pierced you through? Anybody has ever gone through that before? Words carry power in itself. I am not going to shake my hand in a pledge, in agreement with a physician, if you that tell me today I had cancer. No. 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 And I am not walking out of that doctor's office, of that lawyer's office, after shaking his hand in agreeing with what they said. No. I'm not going to be trapped by my words. Words carry power. And the words that are filled with fear will knock us down. But words that are filled with faith will put us over the game. Amen. On the top of our game. Amen. And because of that, we as Bible-believing people should be careful on the words that we are speaking. I'm branching my name and I have high blood pressure. Okay. If you can't say that you were diagnosed with high blood pressure, at least say, they said I have high blood pressure. But when you are snared by what you say, when you hold the hand and you pledge, doctor said, you have high blood pressure. What do I do now? You're in agreement. Then you walk out of that office, you're going to be talking doomsday. You're going to be talking death. Christianity is a religion of confession. Man is a spirit being, very capable of operating on the same level of faith as God does. I'll say it again. Men and women, man is a spirit being, very capable of operating on the same level of faith through their words as God does. Prove it. I will. Brothers, may I have Mark 9:23? Jesus said to him, guy coming, said, Jesus, if you can heal me, please help. Jesus said, what? If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Did it say some things? Few things? All things are possible for people who believe. You may say, well, preacher, I can't understand. I can't understand what you're trying to say here. Stay with me here. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus speaks that many times the reason, Jesus gives us the idea that many times the reason healing doesn't take place right away is because there is no faith in our words. Read it with me. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, let's stop right here. He says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I
say,
he will come with words to you. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will
say,
to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. That's impossible. No, it is not. He said it's not impossible.
Hallelujah.
Well, I already told the mountain to move and it moved. Well, it didn't move for three reasons. Number one, you're trying to see if it works. So you could do it in real life. Now, honestly speaking now, nobody's going to pick on you. How many of you did that before? Wow, holy people. Okay, thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. In the beginning of my faith, I read that. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. So I was looking for a mountain. So I went and I stood before that mountain. Move. Nothing happened. Move. Nothing happened. Somebody passed. Are you okay, boy? Said, yes, I'm working something here right now. So what you're saying, preacher? Words that are filled with faith, according to Jesus, unbelief cannot cause nothing to happen. But words that are filled with faith puts us on the same level of God, to the point that we'll be able to speak to a mountain and cause a mountain to move at the command of our words. So you say, okay. Let's go to Mark 11:23. I'm going to hammer this thing here to see if I can get the point across. For assuredly, again, remember that on the previous scripture, Jesus spoke about unbelief. Is that right?
Yes.
So why am I showing you the two scriptures? Because I want to drive across the point that words filled with fear and doubt will always put us down. But words filled with faith will cause us to be on the top of our games. And here we go. For assuredly, I
say
to you. Again, lips, words coming out of our mouth. I say to you, whoever
says.
Now, it is not specifying that whenever the preacher says something, or the prayer warrior says something, or the pastor's wife says something, it doesn't say that. It says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, have you ever thought about that statement? But believe that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he wishes. Whatever he says. So what is the point, preacher? Words filled with fear will cause us to tumble down. But words filled with faith will accomplish whatever we are looking to get from our God. Folks, this is not a theory. This is a fact. Somebody once said it is a spiritual law. Why is it a spiritual law? Because it works every time it is applied correctly. God never does anything without saying it first. I'll say it again. God never does anything without saying it first. God is a faith God. And God released his faith in words. God releases his faith in words. That's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Mark 11:22 makes it very clear to each one of us. I want you to read it with me. So Jesus answered and said, have faith. Did you know that when you go to read the Greek New Testament, the best way to say this would have been, have the kind of faith of God. Or have God's type of faith. So why didn't they translate like that? Because the man who told the people to translate this scripture was in a Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled translator. Plain and simple. Is this wrong? No, it's not wrong. But you want to get it really sweet? Have God's kind of faith. Amen. The kind of faith that I'm going to speak words of faith and it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I was trying to get a picture, but I wasn't able to get. We have, our family has a couple that is friend. And this man's name is Nicholas. Nicholas van der Graven. He's a Dutch man who married one of my wife's high school friends, good friends. He's a Dutch man, she's a Brazilian, and they met and they got married. This man was not a believer. He called himself an atheist. Well, they moved to the Netherlands and she's home raising her hand, praising God and singing and worshiping him and whatnot. He told her to shut up. She was not allowed to call or to sing or to speak in the name of Jesus in his house. And that went on and on as a contention. So finally she backed off. This man had smoked since he was a child. And now here he is, 50-something years, coming to close to 60. And all of a sudden, on that day that they have the heated argument about singing or speaking the name of Jesus in the house, by the end of the day, she went to work, by the end of the day, she comes home, he's in bad shape. He felt a pain, and then he fell, and he's in bad shape. They rush him to the hospital. When they get to the hospital, he was diagnosed with lung cancer in advanced stage. So what the doctor gave him some morphine or some kind of tablets to kill the pain so he would have a little bit better life until his body collapsed. Well, when she comes home, he's crying. And he tells her what happened. And then he asked her to pray in the name of Jesus. She did pray. 3 weeks later, he was ordered to go back to the doctor. I want you to listen to this. After she prayed and called upon the name of Jesus, she cranked up the worship in the house. And he ain't saying nothing. 3 weeks later, they go to see the doctor. The doctor ran him through the scanner, whatever, CAT scan, whatever it is. And the doctor comes back and... shake his hand and said, congratulations. The man answered, it's not my birthday. The man said, I'm not telling you congratulations for your birthday. I'm saying congratulations for the success on your transplant. You have the lungs of an 18-year-old kid. in perfect condition. Have the faith of God. The faith of God is that kind of faith that speaks word filled with faith, not fear. If there's any one of you here that don't believe that you're good looking and you think you're not so good looking, then start changing your vocabulary. How? When you wake up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth, just ask, how are you doing, good looking one? How are you doing, gorgeous one? Faith-filled words.
Amen.
That is the kind of faith of God.
Yes.
I want you to remember this, folks. God's promises of healing, miracle, and blessings belong to us and to our children. Whether you believe it or not, this is how it goes. In 1 Kings, the end of 1 Kings 8:56 tells us that. And somebody may go, oh, it's not for us, that was for them back then. All right. It's okay. I'll give you a scripture that speaks about us. But let's start with 1 Kings 8:56. And I'm going to concentrate on the end of the verse. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, and also the folks in BCFC, according to all that he according to all that he
promised.
There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. God is a God of words. God is a God of faith. And God speaks faith word. And when we speak faith word, there has not been, there has not failed one word of all his good promises. Change the way that you talk about yourself. Change the way that you talk about your family. Change the way that you talk about your situation. Change the way you talk about your house, about your car, about your job. Change your words. Speak words filled with faith. Because when we do, not one of them will fail. Well, I'm praying to hear what you're saying, but this is from the Old Testament. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For those who are all stocked up, this is Old Testament. Okay, I'll give you a New Testament one. Done. I mean, if that's a big deal, read it with me. For some, for all the promise of God in him are and why? For all the promises of God in him are yes. Touch somebody and say, I say yes to your promise. I say yes to your miracles. I say yes to your breakthrough. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, Christ Jesus, amen. Y'all know that amen means let it be done, right? To the glory of God, get this. I never heard a preacher mention that before. To the glory of God through us. God wants you to have a good life. God wants to bless you. God wants you to learn to speak faith words. Because God wants to hear out of your lips, glory to God. Hallelujah. The promises of God is for you and I. It's for our children today. If we would only open our mouths and claim our rights in Christ Jesus, life would be certainly sweeter than what it is right now. Are we together so far? Let me tell you this, folks. You're going to be subject to an attack this next coming week. I don't like that. Why can't I just be without an attack? Well, very simple. It's reality. You are not in paradise yet. It's called planet Earth. And there's a prince in this world that came to kill, to steal, and to destroy all your peace and all your joy and everything else that you have. And you're now enjoying a nice Sunday morning service. So I'm going to get my miracle. Yes, you will. He may leave you alone. But then when you come across that nice, nice, nice check that you didn't earn, or that you didn't know you have, your car will break down. Then you're going to think, oh, man. Can't even get excited. Now I got to spend this money on the car. And you can do that. Or you can lay hands on the car in the name of Jesus. Start working again. Now, if you are the type of person that are driving for 5 years without changing oil, you deserve it. Should be riding public transportation. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. Folks, in the middle of your blessings, whenever your breakthrough comes, Satan will counterattack. And as sad as it might sound, if you're not mature enough, you may get bent out of shape. I want you to know that you will not enjoy the blessings of God without being contested by your enemy. Are we together here? What did you say? I said, you will not enjoy the blessings of God without being contested by your enemy. I don't like that. Nobody does. But you know what? This is where I use words of faith. This is where I stand on my ground. No, you cannot have my health. No, you cannot have my bank account. Nonsense is this. We have an enemy. And if you just get into having an easy boat, you're not gonna know how to appreciate. But when you're in the battlefield all the time, you'll certainly enjoy the rest that will come. So what you're saying, preacher? There's gonna be many more battles coming ahead of us on Satan's counterattack. But the Bible tells us that we shall tread the serpent, the scorpion, the adder, the cobra, whatever you want to call it. It's under our feet. Don't give in. Well, they just said, I have lymphoma. So what? We reverse what they say in the name of Jesus. Now, this man in the Netherlands, he's not even a believer, for heaven's sake. All that need of us, somebody speak words filled up with faith. We are believers. We've got the power to tread on the scorpions, serpents, and all the power of the enemy. And let's, by the way, stop that nonsense of being afraid, oh man, the devil is after me. What a nonsense is this? Recently, one of the believers came and said, preacher, I need you to come and pray for me, pray for my job, pray for my house, because Satan is after me. I said, good for you. What do you mean, good for you? What are you going to do about it? I don't know. I said, how long have you been in church? 40 years. Shame on you. I didn't come here for you to shame me.
I said, listen to what you just said. Satan is after you. He has been after you since that day you put your nice little face in this world.
Watch out what you say. Satan is not after you, or after Satan. Yesterday I was exercising here. Jesus said, I have to exercise 3 times a week. I don't like it, but the boss said me to exercise. And I don't want to drive all the way to Nottingham to go to a LA Fitness. So I'm exercising here 3 times a week. So, day before yesterday, I went from the parking lot back and forth 4 times, and then I walked on the parking lot 6 times. That was enough to give me 2,900 steps, 5 flights of stairs, and was enough to keep me. All right. Yesterday, I went back and forth, and then I went all the way down. Lord have mercy. That hill is steep. When I got down the hill, I wasn't imagining things. There were 2 demons right at the entrance of the driveway. And when I looked again, and immediately they start. And I call on the name of, I send you back to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. The devil is not after you. You are after the devil. Amen. You have been given power and authority. Amen. You're the one who rules, not the devil. And this is why we're going to speak words filled with faith, not fear. Devil, better watch out because we're coming down to town. So move out of the way. You know, we speak so much nonsense. And many of us will lose our healing because of our language. 1 John 5:18. Let's clear something right now. I have heard half of you say this. Well, no, Bridget, there's something I don't want to get involved with because it may end up coming messing up with me. What kind of garbage is this? So you're telling me that you, the Lord, are being harassed by the slave? You, the boss, are being harassed by the employee? What kind of garbage is this? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Is that correct? But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Stop. Stop. The only time that the devil will come and harass you is if you keep a habit. You make a habit of being sinning. If you're in church today and tonight you're going to be in a nightclub downtown, you better be ready. The devil's going to be harassing you. The scripture makes clear, we know that whoever is born of God does not make a practice of sin. He who has been born of God keeps himself. And get this. And the wicked one does not touch him. I want you to touch your neighbor and ask your neighbor, how are you untouchable?
How are you untouchable?
I'm doing great. Watch out the word that you speak. There's no devil after you. You are after the devil. Many people will say, preacher, I thought God had healed me. I thought I had a blessing from God. I thought God had visited me. But it looks like I lost it all. Well, let me tell you this. God will never give you something and take it back. That's not our God. That's not the God that we serve. So let me wrap up here. We'll continue next week. Pay attention to this now. One of the most important things that will help you and I, not only to be healed, but to keep our healing, and will help you and I to maintain an unshakable confidence in the Word of God, is when we realize that God cannot lie. Number two, when we realize that words filled with faith will always produce positive results. And during the course of these meditations, I'm going to give you several scriptures that will build and help to sustain your faith. And it will be a blessing if you start reading these words on a daily basis. It will be a blessing that you take note of these healing promises and start speaking them on a daily basis. Make them part of your daily confession and your vocabulary. This living word filled with faith will help you on this battle to overcome any symptom in your life, any lie of the enemy, any hardship, any difficult time. The word is powerful to do that. Brothers, can I have Matthew 16:19? And after this, I want you to repeat something with me. We're going to start training today to speak words filled with faith. Read it with me. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, whatever you lose on earth, you've got the keys. You've got the keys to your healing. You've got the keys for your success. Amen. You've got the keys to your future. Amen. And you are not subject to Satan. You're subject to God. You don't have to take what the devil sent you away. Are we together? So I want you to repeat it with me.
I believe
that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe Jesus bore the curse for me. Therefore, I forbid
any growth, any tumors
to inhabit my body. In the name of Jesus. The life of God within me dissolves every tumor.
Every growth
and my health
is restored
right now
in the name of Jesus.
I bind
any spirit of sickness
and disease
trying to grow in my body
right now
in Jesus' name.
No tumors.
No growth.
No arthritis. In Jesus' name.
Is
bond on earth.
Cannot grow in my body.
And I lose anything.
As growth.
Tumors.
And arthritis.
From my body on earth.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for my healing.